No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today we're in here once again with Big Head, returning guest. How you feeling, man?
Feeling good.
Nice to have you back,
a little
man.
Bit. I'm a little tired. It's a little early.
You're a little tired.
Yeah. Last time I was here, it was wild.
Last time
I was snorting coke under the table.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't even under the table so much as like on the table, I feel like.
Yeah. I had like an empty Jack Daniels that I was trying to get something out of.
But okay, so for the record, you're exhausted right now because you were in the studio recording music all night?
I was recording. I was making a little music and then I just kind of chilled on my phone. Just, you know how we just lay in bed and look at the phone?
Right.
I was playing video games too before that.
So you got a hard time going to sleep early?
Yeah.
Mm. Now I got this fucking app that like tracks my sleep and shit, so I know exactly how much sleep I'm getting every night and how much I should be getting.
I kind of wish like I had like a old man sleeping schedule, like wake up at 6, drink a coffee.
That's me.
I think I just want to be an old man one day super bad. Like,
oh, you can get there.
Yeah. I'm for sure. Hopefully
no, I get there. That's where I'm at now. I go to bed by like, you know, midnight and I'm like waking up at 7 and shit. And that's been changing like steadily over the years where it's like when I first met my girl, every day I would go to sleep at 4, wake up at noon. And then she slowly kind of like through having a different schedule kind of got me out
now
of
now we're dads. We're dads.
You're a dad. I forgot about that.
I'm dad.
How's that going?
It's pretty cool.
How old?
One in like 5 months,
I believe. Who's the mother?
My girl that I was, we kind of like broke up a little bit, but we're still cool. It's like it's been like my girl off and on for since I was like 18.
Okay.
So like 6 years we're going on.
Right. Yeah. I heard everybody breaks up in the first year.
Yeah, I was on like a bunch of ecstasy and then we just like had a kid one day. I was on like a 2 week ecstasy binge.
And
I was just busting in her and we just had a baby.
So much respect.
Oh, she's amazing.
That's slightly
she's
different
greatest
than how it
mother.
Went for me.
Literally, I have like this new respect for moms. I used to like, I don't know. I had no respect for mothers, I think. It's really terrible, right?
No, I totally know.
I love my mom, but for a time before in my life, like this year, I've changed a lot. So,
yeah.
But like I seen her being a mom and I'm like, there's, how do you do this? Like it's actually work. And I look now, I'm like, dang, my mom did that for me.
Right. And it's just so unfair because no matter how helpful you want to be, you're just not ever going to be able to do any percentage of what they're doing. Like they're glued to the fucking baby for,
right.
I don't know, however many of the first few years, you know, like, and as a dad, you just kind of, you can help as much as possible, but you're just never going to really be able to contribute like they are, you know?
Yeah, they do something different. It's something, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I just kind of chill with the kid.
Right.
Like, I've changed some diapers, but it kind of scares me.
I changed the diaper. Like, that was literally the first thing I did out of bed this morning was I changed the diaper. And all things considered, you know, considering that I was cleaning up a bunch of shit off of a baby's back and ass, it was pretty whatever.
I think I only changed like 2 diapers, to be honest. I'm not going to lie, because she'll call me out.
Really?
Oh. Like, and they were like piss diapers.
I think I'm probably on a good solid 6. And even that might be rounding up a little bit. She's just like better at it. So it's kind of like if one of us is going to do it and it is pretty easy, then maybe it should be the person who's more right. naturally talented at it. Wait, so when did you quit doing drugs? Let's talk about sobriety.
October 28th, 2019.
Okay.
I hit a lot of bottoms. I hit emotional bottom. I hit every bottom you could think of. I was going really hard.
Right.
Like, so, I mean, I think I was going harder than anybody like that in the game, even if they passed away. Anybody. I mean, I was like a professional drug addict.
What was your version of going hard? How hard were you going?
I don't even want to say it all the way. I mean, I might say it. It's just like when I find drugs, when I find anything I like, I'm like, I'm going to be the best at this. So I seen everyone else partying back in the day and being real rock stars in the music. And I was like, I'm going to do this the best way. Like, I'm the type to like look up drug thing. I'm a professional. I'm like, I'm gonna do it this way so I don't OD.
You're on Reddit, like really.
Oh, and I'm
the
doing the stuff that people are
shit.
ODing off of.
Wow.
But I'm like, I'm gonna smoke it so I don't OD. I'm like, and it's like, it's sick. And then it's like, I had this huge love for it, like just not feeling like myself. I just don't want. I want it not. Like some people are like, yeah, I'm sober. But then they'd ask me like, why don't you drink alcohol or smoke weed? And I'm like, dude, that would kill me. The way I do things, like. Mm. I've taken some alcohol 2 days later. Maybe that same night I'm going to be in the bathroom snoring lines. From there on, I'm going to be end up doing some other stuff with the coke. And like,
right.
It's crazy.
Damn. So wait, when were you first say that you got into drugs? Like when was your first time popping pills or doing actual drugs as a kid and shit?
I think so. I started making beats and then I'm making beats for like people in my city and stuff. And
what city are you from again? You're from up north, right?
I'm from Palmdale.
Oh, right. Palmdale. Yeah. Yeah.
So like, and then they're always telling me like, I'm super nervous or like, I think too much when I make music cause I'll delete the beat and stuff. So then they were like, you got to take a Xanax and stuff. And I never did yet until that same girl, I got pregnant.
Right.
We had like gotten like we broke up and like, I think I was 18, 19. And I had a Xan, like a quarter of a Xanax. I took a quarter Xanax and I laid down and waited for it to hit me. And I was like, oh shit, like this feels good.
Right.
I was like, dude, I want this for a lot. Like, and then like, that kind of opened the doors like to me. And I was always the type to get scared to drink alcohol and get drunk. Like I'll drink a little to look cool. But then after I took that Xan and felt an effect of something, I was like, dude, I'm going to do like everything now.
Yeah. Honestly, that's kind of how I felt when I first tried Xanax. It was like, oh, this is the drug that comes the closest to making me feel like a regular ass person. Like it really hit me in a way that I like, I've drank like a bunch during my life and everything, but it never, like I was never drawn to alcohol like that. Yeah, whereas like either. If you're a person who has that natural level of anxiety, taking Xanax is like, it's just like an eye opening thing. But if you don't have somebody in your life telling you like this is unsustainable, and if you do this every day or if you do this too much or whatever, is going to have massive, long-lasting effects on you.
Oh, dude, I had a seizure withdrawing from Xanax.
Right. So when did you start to get bad, and how bad was bad
quick.
For you?
Well, I don't know, and actually that quick. I'll just be 100%. I don't care. Yeah, anyways, so, like, I started doing that, and then I started taking perks and stuff here and there, and, like, and I got so in love. I even made a Percocet chain, like, within a month of taking these things. Like, I'm like, I get so invested in whatever it is. And I remember when I first did coke, it was like I did coke and then there's two lesbian girls in the bathroom and I start kissing them out of nowhere. And right. I was like, I'm doing, this is what the secret to life is. I thought, so if I do these drugs, and then at the same time, I'm starting to get money from making beats online and selling them. And like, shit is just going good. I'm buying a car. Like, I'm like, this was the secret. I had to do drugs the whole time. So I was fully convinced.
Once you start having the crazy sexual experiences while you're fucked up on drugs and you start to think that like, this is what's causing this to happen, that'll really get you sunk in there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's just, then it progressed. When it got really bad was when like, I started doing real hard drugs. The ones that people don't do.
Heroin.
Like fentanyl, heroin, crack, everything. Okay.
But you went out of your way to take fentanyl? You didn't get dosed?
Oh, bro, I was going out of my way. I would prefer that over the substitute, which is the heroin.
But how long did
fentanyl
even,
stronger?
How long did it take you to get better. To that point in terms of your opiate career?
So it was around, I was touring with Pump, and I was kind of like, actually, I broke my foot. I was actually on the stuff, and then I was 9 days sober, and I was at your old shop,
right?
And I broke my foot outside riding a bicycle. I did like a 180 and broke my foot, and I was 9 days sober.
Holy
and
shit.
Then Pete passed away that night, and I had to go on tour of Pump the next day. But I was sober. I was actually not fully sober, not the type of sober I would do now. I was still taking Xans then, but I wasn't doing hard stuff.
Right.
I just couldn't sustain it. But it got to the hard stuff was like what 2016, 17.
Right.
I was just hanging out with weird. I was living over at the Big E house.
Yeah.
And I had this other neighbor guy that kind of, and I started chilling with him, and it just slowly progressed. And I remember like the fourth day of doing the hard stuff, I was sneaking out. I was going out to my car, and Tracy was everyone in the house, and I would sneak in and do it out there. And I was like, oh shit, I'm fucked. That fourth day, I said I'm fucked.
Right.
Like I woke up with like slight withdrawals, like needing the stuff. I was like, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Like, I just kind of, like, at that moment, I said, I guess this is me for the rest of my life.
And were you,
I don't want to stop.
Were you thinking about the fact that, like, you know, Pete basically died from something similar to what I'm doing right now? And
well, so then I got sober right when I was sober when he died. So I'm like, dang, it was a really emotional time. I hop on the tour bus. It was going good. And I started drinking and that progressed. And as soon as I got back off that tour, I was back at it.
Mm.
But, yeah, no, I wasn't thinking that. Because, yo, when you're a true addict like me, alcoholic addict, like, you don't think that. I mean, you hope that you die from it. Like, you're like, if anything, I'm this shit's going to take me out. I'm doing this till I die.
That's how you felt? You felt
anyone you've ever interviewed that said they did drugs, like, I am the real deal.
Right.
Like, I loved it.
But
like,
you wanted to die? Or you were just trying to have a really good time and you didn't care if you died?
I just was like, dude, I don't even care about life. Like, I'm just doing this shit till it worked, till it, like, doesn't work no more and it stopped working. But,
right. Well, okay, but going on tour with Lil Pump, how is that for someone who's
sober,
trying to not be on drugs? Like, how was the environment there?
It was chill. It's just like, dude, these things. It's like, I guess maybe if you ever been in love with a really good girl and you don't have her at the moment. The whole time I'm sitting there like, God, I just wish I could be home by myself in a secluded room, fucking doing some hard drugs with some porn out and just fucking jerking or something.
Right.
Like, that's my ideal of like a good fucking day.
Yeah.
That's how it was. Like, and I was like, guys, I want to get off this fucking tour, get home. I mean, the minute I got off the bus, I get picked up and I'm back. Like, I mean, with a few days later, but I was like, I was trying to find someone that morning. It was like 6 a.m. I get off the bus. I'm trying to hit up plugs. Like, I'm back.
But did you and Pump ever have a falling out at some point in terms of you being his DJ and shit?
No, what happened? So this is what happens. Like, so I did the whole tour, and then I got back to my whole schedule of doing the hard stuff. And I just like, one day, okay, so one day I'm with Pump before the tour. This is why I got sober at that time. kind of sober was because we get off a plane from New York. He had did a Cardi B opening, they were on the same set. Uh-huh. And that's when I first started, around that time. It's 2017, so I'm starting to do these hard things. I'm not too dependent, but I'm kind of dependent on it. And I had to keep sneaking it. I had a vape pen that was coils that I rigged, and I could smoke stuff that aren't meant to be smoked. So he wouldn't know. They just think I'm smoking a vape or something, but I'm getting lit.
Right.
And I would always have to sneak to bathrooms and just fucking move around. It was so much work. But I was in an airport going from New Jersey to San Francisco Rolling Loud. Mm-hmm. And I lost my wallet, which had some of my stuff in it. And I was the last of my stuff. So I'm getting on this. I'm stressed. And I ran around the airport looking for it. I had fell asleep in the airport and the wallet was gone when I woke up. It's fucking weird. But so I'm running around this airport and I'm on the plane sick. I'm starting to get super sick. And I'm crying low key, and I'm sitting by myself because all our seats are spaced apart. Uh-huh. And something in my head was dude, I just gotta tell him what's up. Because I don't know how I'm gonna DJ today. Because right. It was the next day we had a DJ Rolling Loud. So I just pulled him aside as soon as I got off the plane and tell him, dude, I do these drugs and I'm going through it right now. I'm sick. I lost my drug. I don't know how I'm gonna do this. And then they're oh man, they kind of were cool. His pump was supporting. He hugged me. He's bro, you're gonna be good. And then I was I think I drank some lean that they had to get rid of the a lot though. And then I popped five Percocets and I still was sick.
Right.
I'm a real deal.
Five perks. So you were really bad.
And a
line
of lean. I go hard and then you won't even know.
Holy
it's
shit.
Sick. But so then I told him after this show, can I fly back home, get sober for tour and then take a few days, and they got another DJ. And that's what I did. And as soon as that tour, I got off, got back to I was I don't want to DJ no more. Anything that blocks me from getting that feeling that escape, that's because it's my solution to every problem. It's not my problem. I don't have a problem with drugs.
Right.
I just have a problem with my life. Really.
Your drug addiction
and the drug
is so
addiction
bad that,
is my solution.
But
to all
but
this
that
problem.
Even a great opportunity, go on tour with one of the biggest artists right now in DJ Forum, which is one of the best opportunities, seemed not that great because it took you away from your addiction.
Yeah, and I'm the type to build up all types of resentment type thing to him, then you're blocking me from what I need to do. That I think is keeping me surviving life. It's taking away my stress. It just fucking feels good. Right. And I'm dude, I can't DJ for it. I got some business to handle by myself. You know, it's really sick. It's now looking back on it, it's so terrible. I'm all these. I mean, there was Young Boy sessions I'd go to, and I'm not fully there. I'm I'll pull up because I have to kind of do this my job, and but I'm always in the bathroom and I'm running around and I'm okay, I got a jet. I got to go home. I could have been fully present there and soaking up. It's any person that was in my situation, they would have soaked up the moment, took an advantage of it. And I was just no, fuck this. I got to do some other shit. That's when I know I'm I have a different, a disease.
Yeah.
With anything. I could do it with women now. In sobriety, it's women, I could use a woman like a drug. Uh-huh. Not fucking her. The fantasy of, I see a girl and I'm let's see if I can get the validation that she wants to fuck. If she just wants to fuck, I don't even want to fuck. I did it already.
I very much feel you're describing what I was going through for a long time when I was single too. Totally. And those things go hand in hand. You're looking to fill a hole in your personality, whether it's with drugs or pussy or whatever. You're just trying to fix yourself, you know?
Anything. And it's crazy. But it's cool to know I have a lot of friends now, a whole fellowship of people that are like me. A bunch of drug addicts that are sober, and we all identify with each other, and we know it's I work a program, you know. So it's cool to know what I have at least,
right?
So now when I'm going into a situation, if I'm fighting with someone or argument or with my manager, and I know I'm disrespecting, I could recognize, oh, it's my problem, it's my addiction, let me step back and call some guys, what I should do about it. It's cool, I have a support network,
right?
And I get to be aware of what am I thinking is, I'm with a girl, I could honestly tell them now, hey, I'm not looking for something, but this is just fucking type thing. And beyond, and they don't want to, my spirituality is more important than her pussy, you know?
Right. And it's crazy to think though,
they that like that shit. You get that honest. Oh, we could,
but you kind of came onto the scene around the time that a lot of the SoundCloud rappers came on the scene. And I mean, we've obviously seen how bad a lot of the results have been of people just sort of using drugs and not really taking precautions and shit. Like, we lost Peep, Pump, I'm sure, has been through a whole lot of shit. We lost Juice. There's all these rappers that we've lost over the past few years. Could you have very easily seen yourself having been the same way? At a point, it seemed like that was almost what you wanted.
Yeah, I think that I was so professional with that. I mean, I'm Googling things. Like, I have, like, real junkie friends that we're, like, professional with this. I think they were more taking it, like, we take it alone in a fucking crack house room, you know?
Right, that's a different
with
level.
With no furniture, that's all, and we're on the fucking floor. We're real deals, right? They're, like, kind of partying with bitches and doing it socially. So they fuck around and take something that wasn't right. We know it's not right. Like, I'll buy the ones that aren't right because it hits stronger, and then I'm not going to pop it because once you pop one, you can't unpop it. Now you're going to pop your OD. But if you smoke things, this sounds so terrible.
Well, if you smoke it, then you can spread it out throughout.
You can gauge it, and it doesn't hit you. So I'm looking at this like a strategy. Just like when I started making beats, I'm gonna sell them on the. I'm looking at drugs the same way. I'm gonna do it this way and finagle it this way, and I'm gonna take it out of vape pen so Pump doesn't see. Like, it's sick, bro.
Right.
Like, but it's cool, like, because I don't think I don't think a lot of people in the industry have the same problem as me. I think they get fucked up.
But in a different way.
In a different way. They wake up the next morning and show up to the show or show up to studio session. I don't show up.
Right.
That's when I'm like, okay, there's something different here.
Definitely. So, okay, you come home from that Pump tour and stuff. How long was it from that before you really decided that you'd hit rock bottom and you needed to get cleaner?
Oh, super long time. So I was 17, like 2017, 18. All the way till 19. There's moments where I said I'm sober again. I'll do like a genius interview and say I'm sober, but I'm not truly sober. I'm like trying to just do it. This time I was like, you know, I put the kid to the side. Like, this became first. Still to this day, recovery is first.
Uh-huh.
Kids, the kid, music, everything falls after. But every day I wake up is like, I have to stay sober and I have to help another sober guy.
Right.
That's the goal every day. Whether I'm talking about this and another kid can relate to it, whatever it is, I'm speaking. And it's like, that comes first. Because if I don't put that first, my recovery, I don't have music. I don't have a kid.
Right. And that's the mentality you need to have in order to survive, right?
Oh, yeah. You got to put everything this. I said, dude, I hit such a bottom. Like, it was terrible. I mean, it was embarrassing terrible, right?
Wow.
So I was like, dude, my ego was just destroyed. And I'm glad it was. Because that's what would keep me, like, I remember I was in rehab. And I woke up one day, 14 days, clean kind of, and like, waking up and I'm like, hold on, I'm gonna rehab with a bunch of weirdos, right? I was in Florida and I'm like, and that's when my ego kicked in. I gotta get out of here. I'm a multi-platinum producer. What am I doing in here? And then some dude there working there, he's another sober guy. He's like, you ain't shit. You're in a rehab for a reason. You're not shit. If you were the shit, you wouldn't be in a rehab. Right. And I was like, oh shit, let me shut up. Like, and I'm so glad of that kind of stuff.
Because that's kind of part of the problem is that once you get the success and you're traveling and stuff, you start to think that like, oh, I deserve these drugs. Like, this is actually something that I've earned, and that people who are trying to take this away from me are actually doing me a disservice. And once you get used to that mentality, it's like infinitely harder to quit,
right? And then you also think the drugs is what making me me.
Right.
Because I don't truthfully, I'm probably the same person kind of. I have a whole new outlook, right? But I always feel like sometimes my head, I feel like my addiction is like a little voice in my head or like a fucking demon somewhere. They'll try to get me like, yeah, you're not the same, or coming to No Jumper. Like just saying weird things like, you don't have the same personality, you're lame. Like, it says things like, you got to do drugs to be cool,
right?
Or to make music. You're like, oh my God, I couldn't even make music the first few months of sobriety.
Really?
I didn't even know. Still to this day, I'm trying to just like it again, right? Like, fully feel confident in myself. So it's like, and actually sit down and enjoy it. And it's crazy.
Yeah, because when you sit down and you pop a fucking pill or a bunch of pills in your case or whatever, and you start to like be creative or whatever, once you've removed that sort of layer of anxiety and doubt, it becomes like, you feel like you can just pour your soul out into the music and stuff, but in reality you're like creating an environment in which you really are not going to be able to be rooted in reality.
What's crazy is this year I've probably made more beats than I did last year and the year before. Just like, and like, what's funny is my head does that disease talk saying, you suck, you don't, but my beats are for sure better now. Like, I'm so more aware of what to, like, it's insane. And I just don't sit at my computer. I think I thought I was making a lot of beats then, but really I was sitting at the computer getting fucked up and like tweaking with stuff and then deleting it and then looking up conspiracy videos. Like, that was, or porn, right? Like, it's sick. Like, I was on some tweaker shit, but I thought I was cooking up some fire shit the whole time when I wasn't. Right. Now I can sit down, I make a fucking beat or make two, and I could check out, go do something normal shit, and then come back, maybe make some more.
Right.
Like a normal human. Like,
definitely.
But my head likes to tell me, like, no, imagine if you just took some, maybe this time just drink some alcohol, you might go fucking crazy. That's my head, and I know now that that's my head, and that's bullshit. It's complete bullshit. I know every time I've tried just drinking this or just smoking weed or anything, by the way, I hate weed.
Right.
But but just doing this or that, like, it ends up leading to other shit every time.
Right. But did you have to go into rehab, or how did you actually break out of it?
I was so sick. I had to go. I had nowhere else to go.
You said you went to rehab. But then when you decided that you wanted to leave rehab, or you thought you were too good for it, did you actually leave, or did you stick it out that time?
So I stayed the whole 28 days. And like after, I was like fucking gross in there. I was being bad in there.
How was that though?
Oh, it was tight.
Really?
Dude, you don't have a fucking phone. And then like I was low-key, dude, you have no phone. You have no stimulation. I also didn't jack off forever in there.
Oh, boy.
So finally when I fucked a girl, it felt like insane. And it was insane.
Right.
And then like after that though, I got caught with one girl kind of. And then like this guy pulled me to the side and he was like telling me focus on my sobriety. And then like I did what they were doing in there, what I was hearing, like praying on your knees and doing all this corny shit. Mm. So I did that shit one night. And I read from this book, the book that we read from, right? And I started identifying with all these problems that it's saying. And I felt some weird, like, awakening, like, some spiritual. It was fucking insane, right? And I'm like, God is real. Like, all this, like, this is all making sense type shit. And I stayed up for, like, days kind of in there, like, tweaking on the universe. Like, it was crazy. And I kept telling girls, like, I didn't want to touch girls in that. I didn't even want to, like, touch myself, bro. I was, like, so on this God shit. Like, it was crazy.
But I'm sure in the rehab, they really don't want people having sex with each other.
No, they don't want that.
But do you think that you having sex or having any kind of relationship with one of these girls, was that directly thwarting your recovery?
That wasn't really injuring your fucking attempt there? Nah. I think it was just a spur of the moment thing. And we're all, like, we all want some feel. Everybody in there is the same way as me. We want to feel something. So
exactly,
we're like,
yeah.
And then you're just going, like.
That's, like, the realest thing you could get in there if you're not able to do drugs.
Right? That's the dope. Like, that shit was tight.
Wow. Okay. That's good. Hey, let me ask you this. Do you look back on any of your time spent with a lot of the artists and stuff and, like, feel weird about it? Because, obviously, a lot of these, like, sessions where you probably produced some of the biggest hits, you were on mind-bending amounts of drugs.
Gucci Gang, I was like, that's when all the bad shit started. Around then, yeah, I had to sneak around. And so then that's another thing. I was like, I made Gucci Gang off this shit, so I should just keep doing it, right? Like, the logic is crazy. But no, I look back and I feel bad.
Right.
I feel like, dang, I didn't take their time serious. Like, I wasted their time.
Really?
I could have gave them more. Like, I was so selfish. Like, I'm just coming here to use you guys real quick to get some money, you know, get a record or when I like, so I could go buy more drugs.
Because
like,
it kind of forces you to become that person once you need drugs.
You become like a scavenger.
You need drugs so much more than you need like friendship or musical success or making good music.
Couldn't survive. I thought I would die without it. I just thought I couldn't take life. I literally, it's insane. And like getting sober, like it's the greatest thing now. Like that's all I think about. It's like one thing I'm more proud of that than like any record I've ever made.
Wow.
It's the hardest thing I ever did.
When you look at Gucci Gang, does it just feel like an accident that song ended up being so huge?
I didn't do any, like, I made the beat, but it wasn't none of my work. It must have been some type of fucking entity or some blessing me.
Right.
I cannot even take credit. I was fried out of my mind. I was just tweaking with some sounds on the piano and, I mean, on the keyboard and all that shit. Like, it was all accidental.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So, like, now I had no plan back then. I was just wild. And then, you know, another thing, my image back then was like, I was trying to be not the nerdy producer. I wanted to be the edgy guy, face tats, like fucking hoes and doing drugs with the rappers.
Right.
And it was working because that would be my friend. They're like, oh, he's cool. We won't just make music. We'll actually all hang out.
Right.
And then I'd be like, yeah, let's make some music. But I just realized that I went harder than them secretly though. Like,
yeah,
they would be going hard. Like, I would be going hard more alone. Like when they would go to sleep or they would do normal, I would leave and go home and get a little harder.
But I know exactly what you're talking about because there's definitely a point early on with me coming out doing this where I was actually down to like pop Zans and smoke weed all night and drink lean with like other rappers.
Yeah, I've gotten lit, I think, with you.
Definitely. But it was very much a feeling of like, oh shit, like he's a cool ass podcaster because he's getting fucked up with us. And I started to like that. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not like the other podcasters or whatever. And then over time you start to realize like, oh, maybe this is like a weird thing to be appreciated for.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah. Definitely not in the long term.
Because I feel like we could still be cool. I'm for sure cool sober.
Yeah.
And I'm such like an honest dude now with people. Like,
you might be cool for a while when you're fucked up, but there's definitely a period coming where you're not going to be a cool person to be around if you're living like that. You know, I see it all the time.
It's weird now because music, it's like It's not even cool to be fucked up.
Yeah, it is a little different now. Where you were kind of falling in line, because like think about it, when you're coming out, you have guys like Perp and Pump and 6ix9ine and everybody who's got crazy face tattoos, hair dye, they're fucked up. And that was like the cool thing to be at the time. And like it is weird too when I actually go around rappers now and I remember, oh yeah, you guys all fucking take Percocets and shit, because like they don't put it on social media as much.
Yeah, you don't want to.
But then when you actually hang out with them, you remember like, oh yeah, you guys are definitely still getting fucked up, even though you don't advertise it. But at that time period, like 2017 and shit,
it was cool.
It was being advertised big time.
Instagram started lying, and people would be like, "You're a god."
Definitely, you'd be on like a meme page, like, "Look how cool Big Head is and shit." For real,
I know, man. I fell right into the trap, like a goofy.
Another person that's really struggled with drugs that you came on the podcast initially with. What's your relationship with Tracy like at this point?
Oh, we're cool. It's really cool. You know what's funny is I drove to New York one time, so I made my manager drive me there because I wanted to bring so much drugs, right?
Oh my god!
So I was like, we have to drive all the way to New York if you want me to work with Tracy
from here.
From here.
Oh my god!
And by the time I got there, I ran out of all my drugs.
Wow!
And I swore to myself, like, I'm gonna enough. Like, there's no way.
I mean, it takes like that's a week how sick to drive I am.
I just
country,
can't
right?
stop. Like, yeah. Once I get going, like. It's nuts. Like, I even start touching my nose talking about it. Like, I'm like a real one, right? But So I went. So I get there, and then like they kind of recognize that I was super loaded, and like Tracy and everyone's like, "Dude, you gotta like fix yourself."
Mm.
But yeah, so no, me and Tracy now are super cool. Like we hang out, working still. It's more chill. It's just like I could be present. I don't think they liked me when I was like that. Like at first, when we were all doing it together and where it was like the fun stage, I went beyond. I went beyond the normal, right? Then it's like, bro, you're going like gnarly, like.
And ultimately, you want your producer to be reasonable and dependable and shit, right?
Yeah.
Like the fucked up producer is only going to be able to appeal to the artist for a period of time. I feel like before they're like, maybe we would rather you just chill and just help make beats, just do shit.
Like, bro, what are you doing?
Right.
I could even sit still. I could even sit like if I was fucked up right now. I remember I did the Genius interview where I deconstructed Gucci Gang, and like literally I had to keep leaving the interview to go to there. Like, why does this guy have to keep going to the bathroom?
Right.
Like I had to get, like, I mean, every 10 minutes. Like I'm like, I got to get up and go.
Right.
To the bathroom. Right.
Goddamn.
And then like the show would wear off in 10 seconds. And I'm like, fuck.
You got to that point where it was that fast.
If you look at the interview, like towards the end, my eyes are getting lower and lower. I was fried. I was already up for like 2 days at the time.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, it's just a Genius interview. Like,
yeah.
Just Gucci Gang. Like, it's so crazy. I was so unappreciative then.
Right. Is there part of you that, like, do you have friends or artists or whatever who are still fucked up on drugs? And, like, how much does it make you want to reach out to them and have, like, real-ass conversations with them? Because a lot of people that we know, artists and shit, who are still doing some significant amount of drugs, they don't really want to hear it.
Well, what I learned in I do a 12-step program, right?
Right.
I think that's the only way to do it. If you identify, and it's what we do is it's like I can't go and tell them their problem because I can't. I only could diagnose myself because it's a self-diagnosed disease, pretty much. So because they could just be going hard and they're not like me. I like become detached to these things where it's like this is my fucking hobby.
It's actually easier to get sober if you're somebody like that versus somebody who is kind of okay at managing it
and it's almost like maybe hats off to you, dude. Like if you could manage this shit, do it forever.
Sometimes I meet rappers who are like 40 50 years old and they'll still be clearly like telling me like, oh yeah, like I take Percocets all the time or whatever, like and I'm just like, that seems so unmanageable to me to still be doing that at your age.
They're different.
You know?
If they can manage it, go for it.
Yeah.
Like, but so what I wouldn't go up to them, but hey, I think you have a problem. I'd just be an example. Like, and then also share my stories. And if they could relate and be like, oh man, dang, I feel like that. Then I'd be like, well, if you feel like that, I can help you out. Or like, I'll show you how I did it.
Mm. But and you can't really like,
I don't want to
sit somebody down and be like, you gotta get help.
And yeah, and when I'm in the studios, I kind of get like offended a little bit when people like try to hide drugs from me, or they're, and I'm like, then I feel like I'm the buzzkill or something. Like I'm killing the vibe. And right. I'm like, dude, it doesn't affect me whatsoever seeing people get loaded at all. Like,
so you don't feel that way. So people could be racking up lines on the other side of the room.
I know what it'll do to me. I do not want to go back to where I was.
Right.
Cause like, I don't know. I think I work such a good program that it's like, I'm just, I don't know. I don't know. I work a pretty good program, but I'm just so aware of what it will do to me. And I have like this type of God in my head, like some type of higher power that I just like, I don't know. It's just keeping me sober. I don't even know. I'm just doing what other guys taught, like showed me, what these guys set an example ahead of me that got sober before me. I'm doing what they did. I just finally listened. I always thought it was my way. Like, I know everything. I'm the shit, right? And that didn't work out that well, right? It got me into rehab. I mean, I could have went so much better. I could have took a multi-platinum record and I did follow it up with Youngboy, but I could have kept working with them, kept doing tours and stuff. But so I finally thought to myself, maybe it's time to listen to someone else. Like, maybe it's time to listen to my manager. Maybe it's time to listen to other guys that got sober, even though I'm with no judgment. Like, hey, you guys aren't music producers. You guys just have normal jobs. Like, that's how my thinking was in the beginning.
Right.
But now I'm looking like, that's like all ego. That's not going to keep me sober.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm going to do what he does. And then it's working out. Well, it's things are happening without even me wanting it to happen.
Right.
My head likes to say, to Alex, my manager, like, oh, you want me to work on that record? That's a stupid record. That's a dumb idea. Because my head, I'm sick. Mm. It's like I'm constantly wanting to self-destruct.
Right.
And I don't even know it. I think I know what's best. So now it's finally, I get to recognize that thought. And I say, you know what? I'm just going to say yes to life. Like, saying yes to everything.
Right.
Because I don't know the best for me.
No, definitely. I have a ton of respect for that, for sure. Okay, so they sent me a list of, like, a bunch of different stuff that you have going on. And this one just really stood out to me. Upcoming record with 3 Days Grace and Young Thug and plans for a hip-hop rock collab album in 2021.
Yeah, so I sampled 3 Days Grace on a peep right on Witchblades.
Okay.
And then they reached out to me, which is super cool because normally they would get mad.
So but they did. Them, they got paid guy, off the record, right? But then they so. Also reached out.
I don't know how out. That all worked, yeah, okay. But I'm pretty sure they got something.
Yeah.
Because they're super cool. And then I linked up with them in L.A. Well, I linked up with the drummer in L.A. and we just made a bunch of stuff. Like he could play piano too and everything. Uh-huh. So we like, and he was playing guitar and we just made a bunch of things. And it was just fun at first. We're just seeing what happens. And then, somehow the idea came like, let's just make a rock rap album.
Right.
And, even putting like rock drums programming and then having them replay them and stuff. It's sick.
Really?
Yeah. And then Monzo plays guitar. Uh-huh. 'Cause I don't know how to play guitar.
Uh-huh.
So he'll write things, like, we're just all throwing back ideas.
Is that awkward, like, getting in the studio with somebody who's in a rock band and just, like, figuring out how to work together?
Inspiring.
Like, is he confused at watching you make a beat out of what he just did?
They do things totally different than rap. Like, they're, like, super, like, I don't know. The vibe was tight. Like, it's so, because they're kind of really musical.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like chilling and they're like, oh yeah, that sounds good. And I'm like, it sounds terrible. like what I'm doing. Right. But they're like, no, that's a good idea. And then they fix it up and they're just like really smart with like playing instruments.
Right.
And it's like, it's incredible.
That's interesting. 'Cause I guess from a rap perspective, like your way of just putting a record together is different. Like, I mean, there's kind of like a static formula for what putting together a rap record looks like in comparison.
And there's also more like ego involved.
Mm.
Right. So I'm kind of feeling pressure like, oh shit.
Like, yeah, like the whole notion of a band is like everybody has to work together on this music, whereas normally making a beat, it's you making the beat and then the person raps over it and then you're the two people involved.
And it's
in
like
this.
You get to throw ideas because the rapper doesn't have much knowledge about the program, like the beat, right. Making beats. So they're like, just add this and that. But these guys like know like chords and they know notes and they know like, oh, let's do something like this and that. And they have they have so much knowledge on music, like actual record. Like, let's make something like this song back in. Like, they're just hella smart dudes. Like, when it comes to music knowledge, like theory and shit.
Definitely. 'Cause like after all these years of mostly just doing stuff involving rap, it's like sometimes when I like see a band perform or like see a video of a band performing, and I'll just be thinking like, the fact that you guys get together and do this on stage every night on tour is fucking insane that you guys can all play these instruments in. Like, could you imagine if every night with a rapper, you had to have a whole band on tour with them to like play those beats
again? That,
I mean, it would be sick, but it would just be like infinitely more work. And like,
oh, so much. I hate DJing almost. So I'm like, oh, and I don't got to do shit. Just stop the record and put it like, it's so easy. I'm like, oh.
Right.
But no, but what rappers have a lot of like knowledge in that I feel like is like making a hit record.
Mm.
Simplicity, like, and like the pockets they find with like rap, like they know how to make hit records.
Right.
These guys are like super musicians, like just really musical and with instruments.
Definitely.
But a rapper knows how to dissect, listen to the beat choice. Like a good rapper could pick such a like beat that you were like, wow, it's incredible. And then they know how to put just the right lyric, what pocket, the simplicity, and it's always a hit record. Like the ones that are at the top right now, they're constantly dropping hits.
Definitely.
It's hard to do.
Having something like Witchblade still out there that like has been probably one of the most iconic peep records, like how does that feel just being a part of that and having that just live on as such a gigantic, you know, it's just like a tomb to his fucking musical legacy and just being such a big part of it. How does it feel now?
So, like, it feels great, but what my head likes to tell me is, like, Smoke with Sax better than you. If only you made Bench Truck 2. Or, I mean, Bench Truck. Or, like, if you made this song.
Really?
So, yeah. I always think anything I make is, like, it was good, but I wanted that. I always want what I don't have. Mm. It's sick, right? But I know that now. But, no, it's amazing. And then it's also cool when you're, like, you see some, like, goth bitches and you can say you produce Witchblades.
Oh, that's got to go a long way.
Yeah, you're right in there.
I produce Witchblades. I can't even imagine how that must go over.
I was like, man, that time of my life just making all the songs with Peep Tracy, just being, I wanted to be a part of the, like, that circle so bad when I found them. Like,
no, they were cool as fuck. Like,
oh my God.
I remember
so when
even,
I got with them, I was thought it was so cool, and I was just like
going over that house and just seeing like this fucking weird ass goth environment. But at the same time, when I think about it now, there was a lot of people like passed out on the couch off fucking.
I was sleeping there too. It was terrible. But it was just so. And then I felt like at that time I'm living like my dad's stories, how he used to tell me stories of when he was younger. So I'm like, I'm doing the rock star thing. Like,
really?
It's like I was just this whole like fantasy in my head. And it was just so. But and the records are so organic. Like now, sometimes I feel like, I don't know, nothing felt that organic. Like me and like is. Me, Tracy, and Peep, like, it would happen so, like, we're just fried, and it would be, like, a party going on, we'll kind of record, and we'll make something. It was just random.
You're never going to be able to make a more organic record than when you're all fucked up to the point that you're basically, like, sleepwalking. Like, your brain isn't capable of having a second thought of, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't say that or do this. Like, you know, you're just completely open off the drugs, and it's going to sort of, like, make shit mad organic, but it's also, you know, obviously this is not a sustainable way to exist, you know?
And that's what I've realized, like, now, especially nowadays, things feel really, like, machiny. Mm. Music, the whole industry, it's like you make a hit record, you get signed, and then... It's like
but being quit. Sober is kind of like machine-y,
now I could make strategy. Now, no, it's definitely good. My head wants to tell me like we got to go back to those organic SoundCloud days. Like, no, we don't. Like,
yeah.
I don't. Let's make a plan. Let's make some good music and fucking make some money.
Right.
Like a grown up.
Yeah.
It sounds bad. That's how it is.
Yeah.
Let's make some good music.
No, I mean that's the tough thing is to get to the point in your life where you all of a sudden are thinking about your life like. I'm a grown up. I want my life to be a certain way. So I'm going to wake up in the morning and do the things that are going to help me get my life to that point.
Whether I don't want to do them or not.
If you're getting fucked up off drugs, you're basically waking up every day and saying, I'm going to do stuff to my body that is going to slowly kill me and make it really hard for me to accomplish anything. Yeah. And I don't even have a goal. I don't necessarily have a place where I'm trying to end up. And if I do end up there, it's going to kind of be by mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's and fucking. Oh, my God. It's so insane, bro. Just thinking back on it, it was so crazy.
Well, what's crazy is that there's like a huge percentage of people are somewhere on that spectrum of sort of like not being serious about their life because they're filling their body with substances.
Oh, there's so many careers that could have been in the industry right now that could have been better
right.
if you didn't live that way.
Yeah.
There's some point in time we got to take shit serious and not act Definitely. Out. You got to stop.
And the sad part too is that like a lot of people's youngest, most vibrant years are sometimes kind of fucked up because they're getting fucked up when they're young and it causes them to sort of like grow old prematurely and stuff. I mean, I'm sure you feel like you have a little bit more of an old soul now than you would have ever felt.
I feel like
an
old man now. I feel so lame so in sobriety. I feel like so aware and like I don't even know myself sometimes. I'm like, I'm still like every day it's just like okay, let me try to figure out what I like about making music again.
Mm.
You know, when I'm doing stuff like the 3 Days Grace stuff and all that, it was really exciting because like my dad was like a guitar player and we always like listen to rock and stuff. And like working with them, it made me feel like back when he was in bands. I just like I always want to imitate my dad. Like my dad was like an alcoholic when he was younger and got super fucked up. So I'm like, dude, I'm gonna be just like my dad.
Right.
Like that was my goal. Like I'm hitting it pretty good.
Yeah, your dad's still around though.
Yeah, he's still around. And it's funny when he got sober, he like got all into like motorcycle racing, and that's when then he took me racing and stuff. What's funny is that I get sober and I'm like, wow, I used to be a motocrosser and I used to do this and I want to do all that again.
Mm.
And like so weird. It's like me and him are spot on.
Right. How's he feel about your transformation and to being sober? Is he sober?
Yeah, he's so pumped.
Wow.
Yeah, he seen me like a month before I went to rehab, and he was like, he didn't want to say nothing, but he was like, dude, he thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy, but I don't know, man.
I mean, it's crazy, too, because when I think about originally interviewing you back in the day, it's like, when I think about it from my perspective now, it's like, bro, you should have, like, really said something, too. Like, you should have really tried to help reach out to him. But at the same time, I know that, like, because I feel that way about a lot of people who passed away from drugs and stuff.
If you said something to me, said something to me. No, right. You did say something to me, not then, but later on. And I was like, fuck Adam. Like, in my head, like, I was just like, he doesn't, no one gets it.
Right.
Or, like, Kenny Beats have said stuff to me, and then now it's like, God, I feel so bad about it, right?
Right.
Wasted his time and everything. Everyone was so right, but it's like, at the time, it's like, I didn't mean nothing of it. I just had a disease.
Yeah.
I have a problem.
Definitely.
Which is, it is what it is.
How do you feel about the drama that went on behind the scenes with that last Peep album and stuff? Like, how has that been handled posthumously from your perspective?
I think it was handled pretty decent on my end.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're there. Me and Liza have like a good relationship, and like we're working on dropping like this unreleased record I have with Peep, and it's really funny because it's like a Peep record, and no one, like, it's not like goth at all. It's kind of like him being really ratchet.
Really?
Yeah, like talking about like I eat booty at my grandpa's funeral, like crazy, just some big burnt out shit, and it's cool. And then Tracy has a verse, like crazy verse on it,
right?
But yeah, like they're helping with that a lot, like it's really cool.
Yeah, because that's been one thing that has been kind of weird to see, is that it's sort of felt like Tracy's been kind of like left out of the posthumous Lil Peep legacy in a way. Like, he hasn't been able to clear records and stuff like that. Have you been in the same position in terms of that?
Not really, right? What do you think?
I mean, from Peep's estate side, there's like the way Liza handles everything is unlike anything I've ever seen before. She's so caring about the people who are involved in his life.
He's just saying that from his perspective, that the family's been very good about just because he's on a microphone, but yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was thinking the same. But, no, yeah, it's been pretty chill, actually. I guess things like Big E and those type of people getting involved, which is making it weird. Like, you know what I don't get about Big E? It's like, okay, you get, we were working together. It was cool and everything until like I got that shit. Not like, I don't, that wasn't me, but like I was with Peep and Track. He didn't do it for me. Like, I was doing it and I started elevating more. I started being with Peep, going on tour and stuff. And then there, like Big E's living in a house, doing his own thing, not really helping me, and he was popping perks too. He wants to call us all these names. Like, I remember he made a video saying we're crackheads and shit. Uh-huh. Like, we were all doing drugs. Like, just because I'm doing this drug or that drug doesn't mean anything.
But
like,
you still signed to Big E?
Me right now?
Yeah.
No.
Or were you ever signed to him?
Yeah.
Okay. How did that end?
So I don't. It's all fucking weird.
Right.
He's nuts. Right. It ended like when I went with Pump's people and all that, and it was like a whole ordeal. But like, him claiming these Peep records, like, I get it, you record them in your studio and all that, but it's like, bro, if it wasn't for me, like, they wouldn't even be at your studio.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, bro, calm the fuck down. Like,
did Tracy get out of his situation with Big E too? Because I noticed he's putting out albums and stuff,
like,
now.
And then at the time I'm hearing, like, I stopped fucking with Big E because it's like, I'm hearing like he's like signing producers to create music at the time. Like 12 people that are not supposed to, like, you're doing thirsty shit for money. Like, and you're not living up, like, if you could live up to like Alex lives up to what he's going to do, right? He does more than me. He fucking shows up and does what he's supposed to do. If you kept doing that, it wouldn't be a problem. Like, I don't get managers. If you guys aren't working together, why do you want to hold on to it? Just like, let's come to a mutual agreement and fucking move on.
Right.
They want to hold on to something. They're like, hold on, let's wait if any more shit gets popping and then get his ass.
Right.
That shit is like, bro, it's going to fuck you in the end. I used to live like that just selfishly, and it just fucks you in the end all the time.
Really?
I mean, I guarantee if you, like, you live that way. I wonder how he's feeling right now. I would even want to, I'm not even the type now, like, to, for money. Like, if I see a kid and he doesn't, say if I'm managing him, say if I was a manager and I see it's not working out, I'd rather let him go and get rid of the stress, instead of chasing money or something, just moving the fuck on.
That's kind of weird, though. That's like the whole nature of the music business, though.
I know, it's sick. I don't
people getting
get
each
it.
Other under contract.
And I could quickly get mad about this, and it's so, like, I don't know, and like, I don't know why.
Did you have to go through a lot of shit to get out of that deal with Big E, though?
Yeah.
It took, because I mean, I've definitely seen you and Tracy over the years blowing up on Twitter more than a couple times about it. Yeah.
And it's like we did a tour and then we didn't get paid for it, but it was just like the way we were getting treated was kind of weird. I'm like, if he looks back on it, and then like, it's so funny. People don't see their part, so he's not going to see their part, his part.
Mm.
But like, dude, you were like popping perks and like kind of just being a douchebag and being kind of rude. It was just a weird tour. It got fucking weird. And we're not getting paid. It was fucking weird. And then we're living out of this house all together and shit's just not getting done. Like, it wasn't, like, I was getting no benefit and I'm starting to leave the house because I'm getting hormone pump and shit. And I just kind of moved on.
Right.
Like, I just had to do what was best for my career. And at that time, I was really focused. Like, I was like, I was strategic about things. Even the whole drug usage, I was like, I'm going to do this to look cool and I'm going to be this producer. And I, okay, pump once, I'm going to go work with him and I'm going to do this. Like, I was really on the shit. So I was like, whatever it took to be to the next level, I was going to do it.
Mm.
So I had to dip. Like, I had to leave Big E. I had to leave that house.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel it. It's weird when you think about that time period in LA that there was a lot of different houses that were like making like a lot of iconic records, but also there was a lot of not so great stuff going down in those environments. Yeah.
It's insane. It was kind of cool. Sometimes like my head craves the chaos. Crave it. Like sometimes I think about the times where I'm withdrawing and I'm just the flood finally texts back and it's like, oh, and then it's the chase that, or being at Peep's house and we're just loaded in there and it's girls and I'm that feeling of misery at 6 a.m. when the sun's coming up and you're like, dang, I went too hard tonight. But
right.
Like my head thinks that's normal.
Yeah.
So sometimes I think back on it, like, that shit was kind of tight. Like, I don't regret none of it, but I don't think I do want to, I would never want to relive it. It's right. Really tiring, but I don't regret none of it. I think it makes my story and it could help someone else.
No, a lot of people got to go through it, but I mean, that's the sad part is that it's like every generation has to go through it and over again, you know?
And that was gnarly, dude. It's like, and you know what I think it's going to make it worse for music people is that the fact that it's not cool no more. So you got to hide it. And as soon as you start doing something secretly, you make a new relationship.
Right.
It's not like once you have to sneak it around, then it's like, I don't know, you get more attached to it.
And that's the pattern of the industry too, is that if it becomes uncool to like talk about popping Zans and Molly, but then all of a sudden that just creates room for a new little pump to come through and put out a song about popping Zans and like a new young kid to just say the offensive shit that people in the industry already aren't saying. And then like that, all of a sudden it's like, if there's not a lot of people doing it, then one person can kind of come in and do it and actually get attention for it.
You think someone would get attention if they did it?
I feel like there's probably always going to be a market for like really ignorant music about drugs.
You know what I think would go crazy? If someone that came in rapping about like some harder shit, like the real deal stuff, but not saying they're doing it. Maybe someone had said they'd done it, or I don't know. It had to be something too, because like Zans and all that, it's like we're already done it.
Yeah.
Now we want to hear like, let's talk about some fucking hard shit. Right. The real deal, bro.
But even like the Migos like had like a time period where they were just like Molly's, Zans, Perks. Like they were name dropping drugs so much in a way that I can't really imagine them doing now, right. Oh, maybe they would right now. I don't know. But
it's like a liability, I feel like, now.
Yeah. Like, especially just making it sound cool as fuck is the liability. Like if you are talking about drugs, but in a sort of intelligent way is one thing. But like this is the real hardcore glamorization. Remember when Famous Dex had a song that was Zans? Zans. The whole tour is just Zans over and over, dude.
Fucking Zans are gnarly, bro.
Zans are gnarly, but you sound like you could have took a fucking million of them and you would have been all right.
I took like 15 a day.
Jesus Christ. I definitely had days where I took like
I didn't even feel
two
those.
Or three and I was losing it.
And I'm doing opiates and other stuff with the Xanax.
Mm.
It was like three drug choices. It was lit.
At least we'll always have J. Cole interviewing Lil Pump to remember the Xanax era by. That's like an important thing to remember it by.
I miss those times.
One thing I forgot to mention before, though, how does Young Thug mix into the 3 Days Grace collab shit that you're doing? Or are you really doing like a rock/rap collab?
Yeah,
like a whole
we're just
project?
Making a bunch of records. Then they're just instrumental.
And then
right
just
now.
Finding dope rappers and getting them on them?
Yeah.
Really?
I want to get like Tracy on it. I might want to get Pump one.
Mm.
I don't know how it would work out.
But like Young Thug somehow got in the mix. Oh, you just sent him some beats?
Oh, it's sick. Really? It was really random how it happened.
Wow. Like, it was like sent it to him?
We knew someone and then got the vocals and all this type of stuff. Sent it over. Yeah, it was like a lot of...
I feel like
I didn't get to be with him.
If you got your beats in front of Young Thug on any given day, it feels like he might just record on them, because I feel like Young Thug is in the studio a shitload and he's down to pretty much just hop on any random beats.
I feel like they're really
in-house.
They have their setup. Yeah. And that's so cool. I respect it.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
That's a good point.
No, but it sounds really tight, because it's like there's like rock drums in the beginning, and then when the rapper comes in, there's rap drums.
Right.
So it's cool. And it sounds really good. I didn't even think at first, like when I thought of the idea of a rock rap album, I was like, I don't want to do that, dude. Like,
because it's been done badly so many times.
It's been done badly. And then it's like, I never like crossover records ever. And then I'm always like, if it's not Peep on emo stuff, I don't want to do it. Like, if it's not Tracy on emo stuff, I don't want
to
do it.
There's still a little part of you that just wants to keep making the same kind of stuff that you used to make.
I really liked doing that stuff back then.
Yeah,
it was fun. It felt just different. But I think I related to it so much. I was such in a dark place.
But using the samples and shit, does that feel like, as a producer, does that kind of feel like an easy way out in retrospect?
No, well now I have Monzo if he wants to play guitar.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, I'll have to sample. And then also I've gotten way better just being able to, like, I can make a guitar on the program sound pretty realistic,
right?
Like just clicking it in. I have some good VSTs.
But a lot of the biggest records from like the SoundCloud era ended up kind of being the ones that sampled liberally and took stuff from like classic pop punk or emo records or whatever. Like that happened kind of a lot, and it's almost like the same story of like hip hop itself, where it's like, you know, the early era of hip hop was just like sampling nonstop, and then over time economic concerns caused people to fall back.
Yeah, and
then
it's like, when things got serious, once like labels started getting like, oh wait, this is not a good sample.
I mean, as soon as Juice WRLD had to give like 80% of the money from Lucid Dreams away, it was probably like, yeah, I'm not doing that again.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, dude, like, I don't know.
How'd you end up doing the song with Gunna that I saw on your Instagram? It's about to come out though.
So, Book has a good relationship with Gunna.
Okay, and how do you know him?
So I went to Atlanta, just to work and stuff. This is right when like, I think the riots were happening.
Oh, wow.
And what's it called? So I go to Atlanta and I get put in like writing sessions and stuff. And I met Book because I'm signed to Sony right now.
Right.
And, just setting up sessions. And, we just made a bunch of songs. We just made a bunch. And then he got Gunna on one of them.
Right.
I was like, tight.
Damn. So he wasn't actually in the studio when it happened?
We went to the studio one time with him, but I think they made it. To get them to, I wasn't there.
Right.
They did it. They did do it the night I was there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I was just chilling.
I met Gunna one time and I was shocked that he wasn't fat.
Really?
Because I seen a bunch of memes like acting like he's fat, and then I seen him and I'm like, this guy ain't fat.
Nah.
No.
He's like,
yeah, normal. You can get like a little lean belly.
Yeah.
That's not fat though.
Yeah.
Damn. So that video's coming out in the next couple days or something?
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah, video's coming out. It was cool.
How do you feel about Lil Pimp?
Lil Pimp?
Lil Pump becoming Lil Pimp. The whole Donald Trump co-sign and stuff. Were you just like, I was really staring at my phone the day that happened, just like, how the fuck is this real?
I just know Pump, so I'm just like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, I don't know, ballsy, I guess.
Definitely.
Just pumps. It's just so pumpy, you know? Like, pumpy. Like, I don't know. I don't judge him or nothing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's another thing. The world is like, too, like, I can't be your friend if you have this type of view on something.
I was definitely watching him.
I can't live like that no more. I used to be able to do that. Like,
I was watching it thinking,
no more.
I don't think this is a good idea, but I also like saw people so angry at Pump over it that they expected. I even had some people saying, like, you need to make a statement against Lil Pump. I'm like, are you fucking serious? Like, you really think that this is that serious that I should care about who he wants to support for president?
Yeah,
even if I really hate Donald Trump, like, it doesn't mean that much to me.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know, he's just my friend, you know?
Yeah.
And if you're gonna, I just can't, I'm just not that type of person no more. I can't, the type of brain I have, it's like, things like I had to quit any type of judgment.
Mm.
Like, I have much bigger problems to worry about. And like, living in here, my head is fucking terrible.
Mm.
Like, the things, so I see other things and I'm just like, I don't even have room in my head to judge or to think.
Are you in therapy?
No.
Okay. Are you?
I'm fine. It's just like, I'm aware of my thinking and I could see it. And it's just, it's pretty insane.
Right.
It's really dark sometimes.
But like, do you have hopes of having a different perspective on life or having your brain be a more peaceful place?
It's peaceful now. No, it's pretty good. It just could get there sometimes.
Yeah.
And so the way I can't ever put too much attention to other things like negative topics or like just in this, when I see social media stuff and people going crazy, I cannot put my any type of judgment towards it because once I get the little negative, the whole thing, it just sets off the thing. So my whole thing now is like just loving everything and loving life.
Right.
Like I truly love myself now and I truly love humans. Like anybody that I've hated before, I love them now. Like I have no, like, it's insane. I don't know how. Right. All I do is like I wake up and I pray in the morning and I do normal shit and I care about other people. I ask how they're doing and stuff. And like, it just made me love life. Like,
right.
I have no type of expectations. Like, about tomorrow or anything. I don't care what happens. Like, I just love what I'm doing. I'm just here. I don't know. Like, another purpose. Like, I don't know.
In a way, honestly, it feels like having the kid kind of has, like, had a little bit of that impact on me.
When I had the kid, dude, I didn't even see the kid. When her mom was like, we got to go visit the kid. And I'm like, dude, I have to get loaded. Like, right? Like, if I go visit the kid, that's 20 minutes. Say we're there for 20 minutes just to visit her. Because we lost custody, right? I got custody back now. The whole process, drug testing, all that. It's really cool. But, I was like, dude, that's 10 minutes without getting loaded. I can't. So after I had the kid, now I care. It's crazy. That's how selfish I am normally than before.
Well, that's how selfish the drugs make you. Yeah. It's that even something like your kid could seem like fucking afterthought. Dude. Like it couldn't possibly be as important as literally, the addiction, like, right?
A family member could die and I'm like, okay, so what? What about me? You know, I feel bad for me. It's all about trying to make me, like I want, my brain normally, want, like the bad side of it wants to like say, it's easy to fuck yourself up. I'm in control. Like if I'm getting fucked up and fucking my career up, I'm like, poor me, look at me fucking myself up. And I'm in control. But when I get sober, what's scary is I don't know what's gonna happen. If it could go, things could go good or things could just not go good. Right. I don't know control. I'm just now putting my whole control toward life, to the universe. Definitely. Rather than me thinking I'm in control.
Definitely. So who do you decide who you want to work with at this point? Because I heard you were working with Bella Thorne.
Oh yeah.
Where did that come from?
That was ridiculous. Alex set it up and then I was with her. I was like, that's cool, Bella Thorne. And like, you go in these situations thinking like, maybe I'll get, because you have to get something out of it. It's a job.
Right.
They don't realize, like, I get that she's doing movies and she's Bella Thorne and like making a living doing what she does and has all, hey, I could do music today. Like, let me try that. It's a hobby, right?
Right.
But this is my job. Yeah. Like, I have a baby to take care of. I have myself. We have like a whole life. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So it's not like just fun and games type thing, right?
Right.
So, and then, so I get there, I'm thinking maybe something will come out of it. Maybe like either recognition or Instagram tag, anything, right? Whatever it is. You don't want to go right into saying, I'm going to charge them this much for a beat.
Right.
You just want to make the music first or whatever.
Yeah.
And then hopefully if you guys have a good relationship, they shout you out when it drops.
Yeah.
You figure it out after. And, but like, it dropped and the vibe, like I just felt like, I felt like I was doing it for no reason, truthfully. And then also you bring music is not her thing, right? She does movies. If I did movies and she asked me to do it, say we swapped roles, I'm about to do a movie with her and she's helping me do that, right? I wouldn't put no my input. I would just listen to her and do what she said, right?
Right.
But like when making music with her, she's like, not listening to the writer or kind of like putting a lot of her input.
Right.
Which I don't think that would work out. Fans, they're not going to take it serious.
Right.
You got to bring, I think it should have been like, we bring in fucking writers and there's no input on your end. You listen to writers and we make the song.
I mean, that's probably when the musicians it goes the best, do it, right?
Like and then you just imitate what we're doing. You're the face.
Right.
So then I already hear the record's not coming out how I expected it at all. And I just, I was like, whoa. Going on, so I'm like, okay, maybe so it comes out, and maybe we'll get tagged. She didn't tag us or anything, so it's like, now let's just charge them a shitload of money for the beat,
yeah. And you did,
no, that's what we're gonna do.
Oh, okay,
I guess we have to,
but it must just feel
I'm
fucking
not
weird.
Nothing, right. This is my life,
but I mean, it's a difference between like now you're working with this girl who was like a, you know, child star or whatever. Now she's this famous model, whatever. But I'm saying, like, you used to be in the studio with people that were just your homies that were like real artists who are just doing like making art.
Good music that I enjoy.
Right.
And that's different. I'm getting enjoyment out of it. And then it might lead to something. But like when I'm not enjoying making the music, because it's like, an awkward vibe, and it's just like no one's listening to nothing, and it's kind of like
right.
It's but not taken serious.
You see that dynamic unfolding more and more with different people who are trying to like make rap music now, but they're basically just famous people or like YouTubers or whatever, where they get a writer, they get a good producer,
and if then, they do it good, they listened probably
right.
Or they maybe
well it then is, it kind of becomes a game of like who can just follow the pattern that has been put here, like who can do the best job recreating this reference track or you know.
And I don't have a problem with reference tracks. I think that's tight. I think it's cool when all these ideas come together and they make and like it makes a fucking machine hit record. I'm always it's actually like kind of impressive and people listen.
Right. And as you get close to the music industry, you start to realize that there's a lot of like extremely famous, well-respected artists who are basically doing getting the written. Same exact thing.
Yeah. Everything is getting written, it feels like.
Yeah. Which is crazy when you think about so much of the...
Because you got to make hit records. It's a fucking business. And I never realized that. Definitely. I never even thought this was a business. I'm like, I'm having fucking fun.
And man. Sometimes when I listen to a rapper's album. I'm not going to say any names, but I've listened to rapper's projects and my reaction was like, he should have got writers, you know, like he really should have got some writers to make this now. Better. Yeah.
Even especially lately, I haven't been too impressed with a lot of like music.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think it's, I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm listening it with like in a resentful way. I don't know. But, I don't know. I think I do think that too. Like, I wish there were some writers on this.
Right. Like
or this could have been better.
That's what I thought when I listened to 6ix9ine album. Like, how did he not get somebody to write better songs for him? Because it's like, I don't really care about his own ability to make songs. I didn't expect him to be sitting in the studio for 6 months making the best album he could make. I know he's not that kind of guy. But like my reaction was like, I hope he wasn't stupid enough to actually
make this. I don't even know if I listened to it.
I listened to it one time and
I think I listened like two songs.
I listened to it on my phone. I was blown away by how shitty it was.
It was bad?
Oh, I couldn't believe it. It was so fucking dreadful. It put me in a bad mood for a little bit. Yeah. One of them.
Are you going to interview him?
No.
If he asked, would you do it?
Nah. Just because you got to stay. Like, on one hand, it would be interesting because it would be fucking fun as fuck to call him out on shit. But then at the same, like, he wouldn't do it because he would know that that's exactly what I was going to do. But, like, during that album coming out, he tried to get interviews with everybody in hip-hop and nobody would do it. Like, Breakfast Club said no. Really? That's why he did The Shade Room and he did fucking Logan Paul.
I just, like, talking about it, I can hear this man's voice in my head. Yes. Oh, my God.
They said he got a new single coming out. I'm very interested to hear that, to be honest. Like, they said it was called Shooters.
No.
Yes, and that's what I all of a sudden got interested. Like, is this idiot really going to try to make another gangster record?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that bums me out.
What are your, like, real goals at this point in terms of, like, what you feel like you want to accomplish? Like, you've made a lot of big moves in the game so far, but what are the things that you could do that would really stand out to you?
I want to get more, like, do grown stuff, like... Maybe like signing more people or like setting what records up, not just making the beat, but having input on the beat, doing stuff on the beat and then setting this artist up with this artist and doing that more, like putting pieces together. And I don't know.
Right.
And maybe just doing that and like lead to other businesses.
Cause you know,
I want something long term. I don't know. You know how long term music is,
right? Cause like I was just thinking of DJ Scheme, like the fact that he actually got this fucking album out and stuff.
That's
like,
tight.
That's pretty dope because we haven't really seen anybody from like the SoundCloud sort of wave who is actually able to really like navigate what you had to do to put out like a full compilation album featuring all these people.
That's what I want to do. I think
it's a lot harder, I think, than anybody would expect get all those clearances on those records. And I know there were records that he wanted on there that he didn't get at the last minute and shit with Juice and X and shit.
Yeah, so it's things like that, just putting things together. I want to work with new people, like not even really big people, but people that like, kind of like how I was with Tracy before they blew up. And like, I want to just build more of those. I just want to kind of do that. It's fun.
Right.
Building new relationships and, I don't know, just making new sounds and stuff. It would be cool to work with the mainstream big people, obviously, but it's like no expectations.
With somebody like YoungBoy though, is it like
I want to work with YoungBoy again?
Does that stand out to you as like figure out how to make that shit happen?
I have a lot of shit
again
with him, but it's like one got leaked, shit like that started happening.
Have you had to deal with that a lot?
Yeah, a lot of leaked records.
Who the fuck was leaking it? You ever figured it out?
Some weirdos.
Really? Oh, so it was people hacking your shit? It wasn't like some dude
the
working
one that
there?
Leaked oh my God, this one kid leaked the YoungBoy. He's like, we know him. Some goofy shit. Really? They can't, like, they want to show people they have a Youngboy record. Just wait till it comes. You don't even have a Youngboy record till it comes out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Because or any record. Big records leak all the time, like big Drake records leak and shit, and they get like 20,000 views on YouTube by the hardcore fans.
You don't
fans.
Have a Drake record.
Right, because it's never going to get pushed. That's one thing you realize about the music industry is unless the record label is behind it, it might as well have not happened.
Nah.
Because
and that's what's just, stressful, you know? Too, about going in with music. Sometimes I'm sitting there, and I'm like, God, I got to depend on the rapper rapping on the beat, then the getting cleared and all that or whatever. Then the record label wanting to, then him wanting to drop it even. Just to like, that's the whole living. That's I'm like, damn.
I kind of want to make shit and throw it out on SoundCloud.
Yeah, that was I'm used to that. Just like fucking, we just make some bullshit and put it up and then things go somewhere.
It's funny how we all let SoundCloud die in front of us and nobody did anything to stop it.
why did it die?
Because motherfuckers realized they could make money on streaming services.
That's true.
You know?
And then the quality of music was getting good.
Yeah.
Now it's like things are really good.
There's a lot of records that are like legendary SoundCloud era records that weren't mixed or mastered or engineered in any way.
It sounds so bad. Now, like, everything is like, dude, when you're going to drop, like, these people will drop albums and that shit sounds fucking perfect. Even the beat selection, the everything about the song, it's really good.
Yeah, it's like more of an expectation now.
Big expectations.
That was kind of part of the thing in the Gucci versus Jeezy battle, too, though, is a lot of those old Gucci mixtape records were like recorded in somebody's basement and nobody ever bothered to go through and try to make that shit sound better.
That shit's tight though. It's kind of a vibe.
We watch it on our laptops on fucking YouTube and nobody thinks about it, you know? Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Okay. Anything you want the people to look out for or anything in terms of, I appreciate you coming through and having this conversation, honestly. Like the drug conversation is super fucking motivational and I really appreciate it because I just feel like there's so many kids that need to hear that shit.
Yeah.
And I just want to make sure that, like, that's out there as much as possible, you know?
Yeah, it's like I lost my train of thought.
No, that's okay.
But I could talk about drug shit all day.
No, definitely. You know? I mean, it's just important that the kids have fucking people to look to. Like, the same way that your old interview probably influenced some kids to think the drugs were tight. Yeah, and now
not
it's
embarrassed.
Like,
it's still kind of tight, right? But it's like, I don't know. It's just not cool.
Yeah.
Like I want someone to know, like, if they're getting fucked up right now while they're watching this, that's cool and all. But, like, I actually never thought that I could feel pretty happy, not like how I do now sober. I never thought it was possible. Even when after I got sober a month after, I was like, there's no way I'm going to survive. And I truly feel happy listening to what other sober people did.
Right.
Like, if you're getting fucked up right now, go find help. Like, go to a 12-step program, whatever it is. I don't know. It's possible. I'm just saying it's possible. Yeah. I don't want to promote it or nothing.
No, but for real, like there's.
I'm just saying my story. I actually never believed in it.
And wherever they're at, they ain't as far in as you were.
Oh no, no. I spent so much money. I mean, it was so much. I would spend a whole royalty check, $90,000 on drugs in 3 months.
For real?
Yeah. I mean, I was going hard, and then I'm also getting everyone else high, and I'm taking hostages with me, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like they don't even do the drugs I'm doing, but I'm like, you guys are gonna do these shit. They were doing it and all this shit. This is fire. Like, and then they're stuck in it. And yeah, I was going harder than I think anyone in the rap game even.
Wow.
I truly believe that.
I mean, I kind of believe that
strategically
too.
And like, it was like planned. It was like, I'm gonna fuck it up, and everyone's gonna feel bad for me.
Right.
Like, in my head, it's fucking insane.
We gotta put you up there next to DMX in the Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah, he went pretty hard.
He was doing different drugs.
I think me and him would party good together.
You never smoke crack?
No, I for sure have. Well, that was my shit. Like, that's it. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I don't have no shame because it's like. I don't know. It's not me no more.
No, but as long
I could even picture myself right now doing that. Like I can't even believe. I don't even. It was. It's so fucking insane.
But in order for your story to mean something, you have to fucking own up to that shit and really talk about it. You know,
full fentanyl crack.
Mm.
But back to. I mean, it was all day.
Right.
Then. I mean, people knew. I mean, I was doing this shit low key in front of people. Like, it started getting out. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's another thing I don't get. Why do you judge someone like? Oh no, coke straight. You're just snorting coke. Yeah. You're fucking good. But if you're smoking this, literally, I felt so. I've done coke, and I thought I was gonna die. I've been to hospital more times for coke.
Mm.
I mean, so when I was smoking it, I didn't get that anxiety feeling, and I wouldn't die that way.
Mm.
So I strategically did this shit right. But it was just like I just got around the wrong people and tried, and I just, dude, I wanted to fuck my life up that way.
Right.
I wanted to go all the way balls deep, like. And it happened. And I'm all up. I don't care. I own up to it now.
If you start to get into that mind state of like being like calling out one drug is bad, but this one's all right.
It makes no sense.
You're going to be hypocritical within a short period of time.
I've gotten more any drug I've ever done. I've done all drugs, ketamine, GHB, everything. Everything except acid.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like anything that's like psychedelic. But
I don't blame it.
Bro, I've gotten more fucked up off of drinking alcohol than any of those other drugs.
Mm.
I mean, drinking alcohol is the most dangerous drug, I feel like. Oh. I'm not even judging.
It's the easiest to access.
Easiest to access. They're socially acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
But then like, I did this one, so you're going to judge me for that. Like, I don't get it. They're all fucking bad. Like, and it's not, they're not bad. Actually, I'm lying. They're not bad. The drugs aren't bad. That's like saying airplanes are bad. You could die in an airplane. You could die doing drugs.
Right.
It's the person. I am bad. I abuse it bad.
Right.
Like, no,
I know people who were alcoholics that had worse shit happen to their life because of alcohol than vast majority of the people would have off of heroin or whatever. It's like, if you're going to take that drug, like, really, they're all just tools by which you're, like, inflicting this damage on yourself.
Yeah. You know? It's okay. It's the up to me. It's me. I'm the problem. The drugs aren't the problem.
Mm.
Drugs are fine.
Yeah.
You could do them normal. Good. You drink normal. You go out with your friends drinking. It's the person who's using them and how I use them.
Yeah, we all know people who have, safe relationships with drugs within certain environments.
I can see Alex drink one beer, and that's fucking insane to me.
Mm.
Makes no sense.
Yeah.
Why am I going to drink piss water if I'm not going to get fucked up?
It was funny.
I got to drink 10.
When my girl was giving birth, it was funny hearing her react to, like, what it was like to be on painkillers. And like hearing her first reaction to it, she never really been on this shit before. No, she fucking hated it. She got so itchy. And it's funny to me. Great. I'm like thinking like, I'm like, you ain't heard all these rappers talking about itching off drugs and shit. And like, I mean, this is like, that's obvious to me. Like, of course, yeah, you take a perk, you fucking start itching. That's what it does.
I'll be scratching my legs till they're bleeding.
Yeah.
That was a weird time.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Big Head, yo, I appreciate you coming through for real, man. Yeah. And I think the story is going to inspire a lot of people, and they're going to appreciate seeing the growth for sure.
Yeah, we got some new shit coming up soon. Some really, really random projects and just cool shit. Shit is happening really randomly.
I'm ready. We got to get Fred Durst on the fucking rock/rap album.
Yeah, if you have any recommendations, let me know. Or you have anyone you want to...
All kinds of ideas.
We could work together on it. We could do whatever.
Damn,
it's really cool. Yeah. It doesn't sound bad. It sounds, I'm judging it, right? Like, I'm the type I'm really judgmental, and I actually enjoy it.
A Big Head album where you just have beats with all these different legendary rock, like, musicians people. And then it's just like, oh, yeah, like, we got a Young Thug song, and he's on this fucking Slayer collab track that I did. That would blow people's fucking minds. Honestly, would be, like, a really good lane to try to own.
3 Days Grace and Young Thug. That's pretty legend. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's, like, real drums. It's really cool. I need ideas on who else to get these things on.
Hmm. We got to get a rock A&R guy or some shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck. All right, well, Big Head, appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Big Head, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah.